Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. We thank you for all the answered prayers. We thank you for giving us this Sabbath day. We thank you for the way the weather's changing and for blessing us with a way to keep warm even more this year. We thank you for blessing the ministry, the church family, and the school, and everybody that's helping us do this work. We thank you for blessing them the way that you promised. We lift up all those that are on our prayers that are helping us. We also thank you, Father, for your presence being made known unto us, because you did say whenever two or more are gathered that you're going to be there with us. So thank you for being here. Thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak, so that you are glorified in you alone. And thank you again for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, blessing us with the latter rain, and giving us the character of your Son, so that we can be ready for the latter rain and be ready to glorify you like no other in the history of man. We want to do it for your glory, Father, not for ours. So thank you for humbling us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Oh, Clive, if you fall out, just use your password that you use for C&K. And I gave you a temporary password till you get back home on the server, because I noticed you keep falling out, so it's easier to just, you know, do it that way. You're welcome. Okay. All right. Thank you, Henry. I'm not getting anything on my end here for some reason. Why is it doing this? There should be a current link. The server's been getting hit a lot lately, so much so that it's actually slowing down. I praise God for that, of course. Oh, there it is. Okay, let's try it now. Okay, there it goes. But, so keep that in your prayers. And I just noticed the POGM recording thing, that's my laptop. It's making that weird noise again that it did before when it broke down. So keep that in prayer, because that's the only way I can record. I don't want to record it on the upstairs computer because there's no room on the hard drive. I just started hearing that this morning. Actually, I kind of heard a little bit of it last night, but it's making that rattling noise again. All right, let me put this on the server real quick, so that if you fall out, you'll see this page when you come back. And let me bring the bandwidth down to about 18. That way it'll be a little bit more stable. Welcome to guest one there, whoever that is. If you get a password, like if you register and we give you a password, then you won't have that red dot, and you'll be able to speak and text and PM people. We do that because we have been attacked numerous times. Okay. Thanks, Yee Yee. I just wanted to double check that because the handwriting there. And thank him again. But hopefully you got my email. Oh, okay. All right. All right. Oh, okay. Clive can give a testimony. I don't know if you want to do it now or after church. Yeah, why don't we do that after church? Because we usually have a lot of people hang around after church, if you can. Would that be okay? Sure. Okay, great. All right, for those of you listening on the radio, thank you for being here. And all the radios. That's all I can say. Okay? Let's just say all the radios. In Ministry of Healing still, chapter 37, around the bottom of page 446, where it starts the next one that's called Myths and fairy tales, myths, you know, M-Y-T-H-S, myths and fairy tales. And it says, in the education of children and youth, hold on, let me get the mic where it should be, all right. In the education of children and youth, fairy tales, myths, and fictitious stories are now given a large place. Books of this character are used in the schools, and they are to be found in many homes. How can Christian parents permit their children to use books so filled with falsehood? When the children ask the meaning of stories so contrary to the teaching of their parents, the answer is that the stories are not true, but this does not do away with the evil results of their use. And this is the hashtag. Let me stop here. This reminds me of Santa Claus, you know, in where I mentioned it on the Christmas page or the Christmas newsletter, and later it became a page. It's what generated a big war in my family, or my father's family. Actually, my family is my children. We don't fight about stuff like that. We don't fight, mostly. But the Christmas thing, or the Santa Claus thing, little kids are told that Santa Claus is who he is. He's fat and he's jowl and he comes down your chimney. When on Christmas Eve and Christmas morning you wake up and all these gifts run under the tree magically. He puts them there and he fills all your stockings by your fireplace if you have one, right? And little kids believe this stuff, hook, line, and sinker. I know I believe it. My dad even used to bang on the furnace. He used to bang on the ductwork of the furnace thing. Oh, you better get to bed. It sounds like you're getting stuck in the pipes, you know. He can't come unless you guys are sleeping. He'd bang on it and stuff and make us think that Santa Claus is coming, you know. And I was like 5 or 6, and I'd run up the stairs. And then, of course, you have the dreams about the sugar plum fairies and all that other stuff and all the gifts that you're going to get the next day. And then when you're about 7 or 8, 9 or 10, or some people, you know, later, you find out that it was all a lie. That there is no such, I mean, there is a guy, well, he's not really a Santa Claus, it's half-pagan Saint Woden. Or no, half-pagan god Woden and half-patron saint Nicholas from the Catholic Church. They just mix two together. And so you find out in your early life that it was a lie. Your parents actually lied to you. What's worse is you just realized it worked. You just found a way to lie. You found out that there is a way. There's things that you can do to make people believe you that aren't true. It's kind of hard to explain this. But your parents just taught you how to lie, and they also taught you with first-hand experience, because you experienced it in your own mind, that lying really works. You can believe a lie. Right? And this is the same thing with these little fairy tales and these myths and these fictitious books and novels and stuff like that. They're filled with falsehoods. And then when the kid asks about him, he just says, it's just not true. Well, that doesn't make it any better. It shouldn't even be in the house. And some of these myths and fairy tales are true, though. But, well, like some of the songs. For example, Ring Around a Rosy, Pocketful of Posy, Ashes, Ashes, We All Fall Down. That's actually the songs the little kids used to sing, or I don't know if they actually sung it when they were all dying, but it was kind of a song that they sang after the plagues were done. You know, the bubonic plague, where you get that little ring around a rosy blemish on your skin, which meant you've got it. And then I guess they did something with the ashes to try to prevent it from spreading or something like that. I don't know. But then you all fall down dead, you know, when you got it. It was just relating what happened in those days when they used to walk down the streets with carts yelling, bring out your dead, bring out your dead. And then, you'd have to bring out your dead loved ones and put them in a cart. And they would just cart them off. And, boy, that had to be a rough time for people. But anyway, just that alone, I mean, the fact, you know, like some of the, you know, London Bridge is falling down. I don't know if that has any, I mean, I don't think London Bridge ever fell, but I know it's sinking. But it's amazing how these myths and these legends they actually become true in people's minds later on. Like a lot of the stuff that the Catholic Church did, a lot of the archives that they have are loaded, and they know this too. They even documented the fact that they know a lot of the stuff, like with Malachi, you know, that so-called Catholic saint, they call him, you know, or a prophet, who predicted that this is the last pope, the next one's Antichrist and all that stuff. A lot of people are believing it, but they don't realize it's all Catholic prophecy. That's all it is. And They did mention a lot of times that a lot of their archives are fictitious. They're bogus. They're, a lot of it's plagiarism too. It's just, some of the stuff just ain't real and they don't care. It's still out there. And people believe it. Especially the Catholics. They believe some of the ones that actually dig into their history, they believe some of the stuff that's in there. Like, for example, they believe that the Catholic Church, put the Bible together. The research that I've come up with over the years, I mean, no one could actually say for sure, have any rock hard evidence to prove the Catholic Church actually did that. But looking at the history of this church, looking at the Jesuit oath, for example, or looking at any oath of a Catholic priest, you see that this church is based on lies and it's based on murder. And so what's to stop this from happening? 2,000 years ago, or let's say 1,500 years ago, whenever it was that they put the Bible, you know, all 66 books together, and I'm not counting the Apocrypha because they're not inspired writings, a young man or woman of God, you know, a real Christian, compiled the books and put them all together, and some Catholic priest found out about it, killed them, and then took the books in the order they were and brought them to the Vatican and claimed the duty for Rome, claimed the work for themselves. It's just like with a lot of the patron saints in the Catholic Church. A lot of the stuff ain't real. Those saints aren't really saints. A lot of them are killers. A lot of them are actually, none of them, most of them aren't Catholics. Some of them are actually Christian martyrs, and they turned them into Catholics after they died. We were talking about this last night, like St. Patrick. St. Patrick was a Sabbath keeper. He had nothing to do with drinking green beer and corned beef. He was a Sabbath keeper, but they killed him. And then they soiled his memory to the best of their ability. So anyway, continuing. The ideas presented in these books mislead the children. They impart false views of life and beget and foster a desire for the unreal. And that also is a way to make the Bible look less appealing, like Hollywood. Hollywood's infamous for this. You know, it used to be the Bible was the only place that had these amazing stories, and they're all true. They're absolutely true, but when you start with these fictitious stories, you can add all these amazing, you know, events that aren't true. It's just a story. And it makes real life seem overwhelmingly boring sometimes. And then nowadays with the special effects and all this other stuff with the movies, people would rather go to watch a movie than to open a Bible. And even if it's a G-rated movie, it's causing problems for the mind. It's alluring, you know, it's luring. I mean, all movies are novels. They're fictitious. None of them are true, unless you're actually going to a documentary. You know, think about it. Every movie you're going to see, I mean, if Sister White is sitting here telling us that we're not supposed to read novels, which is true or not, because that's what she's saying, then what's the difference between a novel that's written that creates a movie in your mind, you know, because we all know how the mind works. You're reading a book, you get mental pictures. What's the difference between the movie in your mind and the movie on the screen? There's no difference. They're both novels. They're both fictitious. They're both lies. So even a G-rated movie, I won't go in a theater. But anyway, continuing. The widespread use of such books at this time is one of the cunning devices of Satan. He is seeking to divert minds of old and young from the great work of character building. He means that our children and youth shall be swept away by the soul-destroying deceptions with which he is filling the world. And this is no different. Okay, another thought comes to mind while I'm reading this is, now the movies are novels and they're all fictitious and stuff like that, right? Well, so are sitcoms. Think about it. The sitcoms are just manufactured stories to make you laugh. Now, TV does have some good points. You can watch Planet Earth on TV, and Discovery Channel sometimes has some good stuff. But even Planet Earth, they get their digs in there. I mean, you look at all the wonderful things that the Lord has made, and they show all these wonderful animals that he has created. And every now and then they'll say, and it took 6 billion years for this to happen or that. You know, they throw that evolution dig in there, you know, and they totally twist the truth. And you hear it enough times, it's going to affect you. So continuing. Therefore, he seeks, let me backtrack a little bit so that we can keep on track of what she's saying here. She says, he is seeking to divert the minds of old and young from the great work of character building. He means that our children and youth shall be swept away by the soul-destroying deceptions with which he is filling the world. Therefore, he seeks to divert their minds from the Word of God and thus prevent them from obtaining a knowledge of those truths that would be their safeguard. Especially in today's world, we've got to get as close to Christ as we possibly can. Putting it off a day or putting it off a year means you have that much less time to be prepared when the latter rain starts falling. And if you don't have the faith necessary to stand firm, you will be taken over in the hour of temptation. Because the Bible does say in Revelation chapter 3 that the hour of temptation, he will keep us from the hour of temptation because we clamor close to his side, or we gather close to his side. But those that don't, of course, that's why it's so important to get right with Christ now and get as close to him as you can now and avoid all those little footholds. We were just talking about this yesterday like right after the Sabbath. We had our little Sabbath worship and that, and we started talking about ways that we can improve ourselves because we can't have even the slightest foothold, even if it's just bitterness, because that was brought up, of course. And because the devil will use that in the day. Like, if you can't get rid of it now, you still may be blessed with gaining heaven, yes. But you may not be able to make it through the plagues of Revelation, so the Lord will allow you to be martyred. Okay, so it's your choice. I mean, but still, you may not be martyred. You may not make it to heaven. You may not get to that point where they plateau on your faith, and the latter rain won't fall upon you, and you won't be used by God, and of course, you'll end up getting the mark of the beast. And so, we know it's coming. We may as well prepare. And for those that don't really think it's, or say you don't really have concrete evidence that it's coming, that the end is coming, just read some prophecies about recent, you know, like, for example, on my website, I got a page called People Get Ready. In there, I show a bunch of prophecies that talk about the nearness of Christ, and then a bunch of prophecies that talk about right before he gets here. Just read that. And then read about some of the documented historic facts that prove all those prophecies have been fulfilled with the exception of one or two, the last two. All right? So if you have this much concrete evidence that the Christian prophecy is accurate up to this point, why would you even consider thinking that there's a possibility he isn't coming? It may not be. I mean, if all the other prophecies are right, I mean, seriously. But anyway, continuing. And this is kind of what these books will do as well. Like all the sensationalism, all these strange thoughts, and it steers you away from God and his truth to the point where the Bible will become boring, and then you won't investigate prophecy, because I got to tell you, it's a grand adventure. It's an amazing thing for me. It always has been, the Bible itself. And many Christians, you know what I'm talking about, how the Bible is a wonderful book to read. Sure, the first time you start getting into it might be a little difficult, but that's only because you have to put forth your staff. You have, like Moses did before that Red Sea split, you have to do your part. The Lord sees you're honest about wanting to learn. It's not called the living word for no reason. All of a sudden, he'll open it, and that book will come alive. And it's a grand adventure, I got to tell you. So anyway, continuing, it says, never should books containing a perversion of truth be placed in the hands of children or youth. Let not our children, in the very process of obtaining an education, receive ideas that will prove to be seeds of sin. If those with mature minds had nothing to do with such books, they would themselves be far safer, and their example and influence on the right side would make it far less difficult to guard the youth from temptation. Far less difficult. So I got to tell you, I was Catholic for many years, as many of you know, and a lot of our children were raised as Catholics, and so we only became Sabbath keepers like 12, 13 years ago. And I've got kids that are in their, you know, that are 30 years old. And so some of them are, you know, it's kind of like what we were talking about the other night, or last week, as a matter of fact, in regards to Solomon. When he came back to his senses and he started getting back with the Lord, it was impossible for him to get to Rehoboam, his son, to get him to a mindset to where, you know, to be able to avoid the temptations. Because the kid had been ensconced in all this garbage from his youth. And so it's a difficult time. So there's a lot of praying going on. And praise the Lord, you can see the fruits of the prayers. You know, the Lord is moving. But it's a never-ending battle. The laptop is getting noisy. All right, continuing. We have an abundance of that which is real, that which is divine. Those who thirst for knowledge need not go to polluted fountains. The Lord says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. that thy trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Now let me stop there, because a lot of people don't get this. I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. In other words, I think Paul penned the phrase, we are without excuse. Even the atheist is without excuse. The atheist has to acknowledge the fact that that tree in his backyard was made by God. Whether he wants to believe in God or not doesn't make any difference. He can't explain its existence. He can't explain the gopher running through his lawn. He can't explain the fly that just flew by his forehead as he was watching TV or whatever. He's without excuse. He knows, even like the evolutionist who seems to think that he's correct, that there's something going on here. There has to be, there's intelligent design. Like we were talking the other day about how science just proved that when God spoke and he said, let there be light, that the sound wave that hit that big ball of water in the universe as he was creating on day one was vibrated by the sound, and scientists did this in a dark room where they had a beaker of water and they blasted sound waves at it, and right in the center of the beaker of water formed a little bubble of air that started to glow white hot just from sound waves. And then we just found this out last week, and I'm still researching it to try to find the absolute documented evidence of it, but I was talking to a Christian, and he said that he found that they got these electron microscopes, we all know about this, they can see DNA strands now. And they've even gone further and looked at inside the DNA strands, and they see these things called strings. And then they went beyond that, and they found the basement finally. They finally found the base element for all life, whether it's a tree, a gopher, a man, or a blade of grass. Everything has this base element in it, and that base element is sound waves. Even an atheist can't explain that, because the Bible does say God spoke it into existence, but yet the atheist can't come up. You know, so in other words, even to thee, atheist, I have made known to thee this day. But because the day is going to come when they're going to want, you know, especially when the Eastern Sky splits, they're going to acknowledge this. Okay, fine. You know, but you can't gain heaven by being from Missouri. You know the logo for Missouri, the Show Me State. I'll believe it. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. And it's too late then. Faith has a lot to do with it, because we can see, those of us that are Christians, and I would assume everybody in here is, and on the radio and that, we have no problem understanding how we can see his hand move. The difficulty comes in trying to explain it to somebody who doesn't see it. It's really difficult sometimes to explain that. But praise the Lord, the seeds are watered that we plant. He gives us that opportunity to plant those seeds. So finishing it up, she's quoting, of course, from Proverbs and Psalms. It says, have not I written to thee excellent things in counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that send unto thee? He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, showing to the generation to come to the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to be declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Ain't that neat? No sorrow with it. And that's, of course, Proverbs 22, verses 17 to 21, Psalm 78, verses 5, 4, 6, and 7, in that order, and then Proverbs 10, 22. And we got 5 minutes. Let me see if I can finish up the rest. This next section is called Christ's Teaching. And it says, so also Christ presented the principles of truth in the gospel. In his teaching, we may drink of the pure streams that flow from the throne of God. Christ could have imparted to men knowledge that would have surpassed any previous disclosures and put in the background every other discovery. He could have unlocked mystery after mystery and could have concentrated around these wonderful revelations the active, earnest thought of successive generations till the close of time. But he would not spare a moment from teaching the science of salvation. His time, his faculties, and his life were appreciated and used only as the means for working out the salvation of the souls of men. He had come to seek and to save that which was lost, and he would not be turned from his purpose. He allowed nothing to divert him. Christ imparted only that knowledge which could be utilized. There's a lot of things that man can't understand, you know, and God's ways are past finding out, and we have a duty to understand and embrace and run with the things that we know. It's like a need-to-know kind of a basis. You know, there's certain things that he's not going to reveal to us until we get home. And there's a reason for that, because we'll take it way out of context. It's just like with when Jesus ascended into heaven. The apostles weren't allowed to see the grandeur of the ceremony of him returning home. They weren't allowed to see that because they would have had their eyes on the wrong prize. So continuing, his instruction of the people was confined to the needs of their own condition in practical life. The curiosity that led them to come to him with prying questions, he did not gratify. All such questionings he made the occasion for solemn, earnest, vital appeals. To those who were so eager to pluck from the tree of knowledge, he offered the fruit of the tree of life. They found every avenue closed except the way that leads to God. Every fountain was sealed save the fountain of eternal life. Our Savior did not encourage any to attend the rabbinical schools of his day for the reason that their minds would be corrupted with the continually repeated, they say, or it has been said. Why, then, should we accept the unstable words of men as exalted wisdom when a certain wisdom is at our command? And that's one of the reasons I never went to seminary and some of the other preachers that we know haven't gone, because had we done that, we wouldn't be here today. We'd be out preaching in some Sunday church, you know. And I pray for. I know some preachers that are in seminary now, and I'm constantly reminded of them while I'm in prayer. And there's reasons for that, because these men can be used by God in a mighty way, but they got to get out of them schools. It's just like with even John the Baptist. God could have used one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees or the scribes or even the high priest for that matter, but no, he totally bypassed them guys and went for John the Baptist living out there in the wilderness. Because it's better to let the Almighty teach than man. So continuing, that which I have seen of eternal things and that which I have seen of the weakness of humanity has deeply impressed my mind and influenced my life work. I see nothing wherein man should be praised or glorified. I see no reason why the opinions of worldly wise men and so-called great men should be trusted in and exalted. And I tell you, that's what goes on in all those seminaries too, because when I talk to these young men, that's all they do. It says, well, Schofield said this, or Spurgeon said that, or whatever. And none of these men are prophets, of course. I don't have a problem with speaking of Ellen White said this, or no more than I would have a problem saying Isaiah said this, because Ellen White's a prophet and so is Isaiah. And I'm sure Isaiah probably had a difficult time. Let's say Daniel. Daniel for sure. For example, Jews to this day don't believe Daniel was a prophet. They don't put any stock in his words at all. You know? And it's no doubt because of the 2300 days. A lot of the stuff that proves they messed up at around that time. So continuing. The reason I mention that is because a lot of people to this day don't believe Ellen White's a prophet. I said, well, then I think people didn't believe Daniel was a prophet either. And yet, it's in your Bible. So continuing. How can those who are destitute of divine enlightenment have correct ideas of God's plans and ways? They either deny him altogether and ignore his existence, or they circumscribe his power by their own finite conceptions. That's why 2 Peter 1:20 is so powerful for the Berean. When you stand there and you hear somebody trying to explain a prophetic symbol and you realize, that, hold on a second here, the Bible does not say that. You know, the Bible says Holy Spirit or fire, you know, or oil means Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean what you just said it meant, or whatever the case may be. Because 2 Peter 1:20 says that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. We can't give our own opinion. That's when you put a big old target on yourself and it says false prophet or false teacher, whatever the case may be. But going on, it says, let us choose to be taught by him who created the heavens and the earth, by him who set the stars in order in their firmament and appointed the sun and the moon to do their work. It is right for the youth to feel. Let me stop that, because this reminds me of something I'm putting in my next video, and I think it's claim number 4, where they claim that they had taken, of course, 2 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians out of context to say that it says we have to go to church on Sunday. It was the one where they were saying that Jesus Christ broke Sabbath because him and the apostles were picking the kernels of corn, you know, the wheat, because they call wheat corn in them regions. We call corn here. And so they're actually taking the word of a Pharisee over. Think about this. Because what Christians do this, they say, look, Jesus broke Sabbath, it's okay to break Sabbath. I said, whoa, he didn't sin. Because, I mean, breaking Sabbath means transgression of the law. Commandment number 4 is commandment number 4. And they're taking the word of a man who was created, they're taking the word of a man who was created over the word of he who wrote the word. You know, the Bible literally says to keep the Sabbath, but they go with man instead. I think it's better to trust the Creator who wrote the Bible than the ones who supposedly preach it sometimes. She goes on to say, it is right for the youth to feel that they must reach the highest development of their mental powers. We would not restrict the education to which God has set no limit, but our attainments avail nothing if not put to use for the honor of God and the good of humanity. It is not well to crowd the mind with studies that require intense application, but that are not brought into use in practical life. Such education, and all the schools are famous for that. How many of us remember when we were going to public schools? What will I use this in life? I mean, what will I use this for? Or why do I need to know the square root of pi? You know, well, some people might if they become scientists, but, you know, most people don't. So continuing, such education will be a loss to the student. For these studies, lessen his desire and inclination for the studies that would fit him for usefulness and enable him to fulfill his responsibilities. A practical training is worth far more than any amount of mere theorizing. It is not enough even to have knowledge. We must have ability to use the knowledge aright. The time, means, and study that so many expend for comparatively useless education should be devoted to gaining an education that would make them practical men and women, fitted to bear life's responsibilities. Such an education would be of the highest value. And just looking at the way the colleges are structured today, in order to learn something that you want to learn, you got to take a bunch of other useless credits to get a degree or something. In other words, they say you got to pump all this garbage in your mind if you really want to do that in life. It makes no sense. And these are higher learning institutions, higher learning. And what they're doing is stupid. Plain, it's just stupid. But she goes on to say, what we need is knowledge that will strengthen mind and soul, that will make us better men and women. Heart education is far more important than a mere book learning. It is well, even essential, to have a knowledge of the world in which we live, but if we leave eternity out of our reckoning, we shall make a failure from which we can never recover. A student may devote all his powers to acquiring knowledge, but unless he has a knowledge of God, unless he obeys the laws that govern his own being, he will destroy himself. By wrong habits, he loses the powers of self-appreciation, he loses self-control, he cannot reason correctly about matters that concern him most deeply, he is reckless and irrational in his treatment of mind and body. Through his neglect to cultivate right principles, he is ruined both for this world and for the world to come. If the youth understood their own weakness, they would find in God their strength. If they seek, now that's very phenomenal what she said there. If the youth understand their own weakness, they would find in God their strength. Because that's where he's most powerful, when you are your most when you're at your weakest point. And a lot of times that's when the prayer is answered, when it's, you know, like when the train pulls into the station as well. She says, if they seek to be taught by him, they will become wise in his wisdom, and their lives will be fruitful of blessing to the world. But if they give up their minds to mere worldly and speculative study, and thus separate from God, they will lose all that enriches life. And with that I say amen. Be back in a minute.